go talk to the head basketball coach at Michigan State University, Tom Izzo. He's standing by live on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line. How you doing, Coach?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. How have you handled all the social justice conversations, probably mostly via Zoom or with a mask on, with your team? And we go back to George Floyd in Minneapolis through what happened in Kenosha. Tell me conversations you've had with your assistant coaches, people involved in your program, and also your players.
Well, Bill, you know, it started before our kids came back, right around, May or June, whenever it was. And so I had a couple of Zoom calls because they weren't back yet. When they came here, the first thing I did is got everybody outside, wore masks, and I addressed them face to face. I think when you're talking about something that's passionate, I hate the Zoom, I hate the phone, I hate texting, I hate tweeting. I double hate the social media. And I'm starting to hate any agencies that don't hold people accountable. And that's what I see in this this situation. But I called every former player, from Steve Smith to Magic to Draymond to Cleaves to, you know, Jaren Jackson, his mother was a lawyer. I tried to call some of the parents I knew that I felt good about, Chris Hill. I tried to gather as much information that could help me help the kids. And what you find out is a lot of these kids don't even understand what's going on because they weren't brought up in that era. It really drives my assistant, Mike Garland, nuts. So even though you think it's always going on, kids, the education piece is the piece that's the worst. And so, my assistants, we tried to educate people on what's going on, And yet, struggle. I still struggle today with it. I'm my only thing that I can say, and this is on a personal note, I've always believed people should treat people like they want to be treated themselves, one. But people have to be held accountable to the standards that they have. So if a player is not doing what he needs to do to be who he wants to be, my job is to hold him accountable. If it means to wave my finger in his face or yell at him or hug and kiss him, that's my job. But this thing, you know, there's certain things right now where we're really struggling. Education is the biggest one. And I have a problem because I think there's a lot of great teachers, a lot of great police officers, a lot of great people. But as always, the small minority rear its ugly head and we don't seem to be able to hold people accountable. You know, I thought I played it for my team up in Minnesota when a black chief of police came on and said, you know, I kept asking people, how could a guy have this many incidences against them and not be fired? And he kind of came on and said, well, there's things in place that protect people. And you know what? I'm struggling with that. I struggle with it. I think people should be held accountable. They got a job to do. And in saying that, I think there's a million great cops, a million great teachers, a million great people. But the few that don't do their job get protected. And that bothers me a lot, including what happened up there. I did not get to see the incident in Kenosha. I heard about it. I did not see it yet. And but it, what I've heard, it sickens me. You know, I said it back then, it sickens me, it still sickens me. And that's what I talk to my players about. I'm blunt about it, I'm upfront about it. I told them what I agreed with and I told them what I disagree with. And it's been very good. And my former players, I brought some of them in, have been really good. And the kids, my guys have been awesome. Just awesome. It doesn't solve anything yet. But as I said to my players, especially my black players and my white players, right now, I think some of this falls on me, on you, on the white man. And I'm not saying that we get everything perfect or this or that, but it just can't keep happening. It's sickening. It's disgusting, and it's and I don't want to go on anymore because I'll probably offend somebody, but I really struggle with that.
Well, Tom, and the one thing I'll say about what went down in Kenosha and when I first watched that video, I agree with you, sick to my stomach, but I will say, before everybody launches on protest and comments, you do need to let an investigation play out on exactly what happened. And we're so quick to judge. And I'm not saying, man, if that was a man who wasn't reaching for a gun and he was shot, then those officers should appear in court and be charged with murder. I'm right there. But just waiting until there's a timely investigation, until the facts are there, and then we all can say, you know what, that guy needs to be arrested. That guy needs to go to jail for life. This needs to happen. We are so quick to move because of Twitter, Facebook, and 9,000 networks now. We really are. We are so quick to action. And I think we need to understand the process a little bit more before we all line up and say something needs to happen now.
Well, I'll disagree with you. And I'll tell you why I'll disagree with you. I mean, there's always should be a process, but society has proven now that we're guilty till proven innocent, that innocent right. till proven guilty. I agree with that. I lived it. When I say that, I say it with, I lived it. You know I lived it. And don't think you and everybody else wasn't part of, you know, wondering where Tom Izzo was on that thing. So when you say that, you better look in the mirror. And but I will say this. When you shoot a guy 7 times, when you put a knee in a guy's neck that does not have a gun, now I question some of that, Bill. I can't agree with you on that. There's a process. There was a process here. When the process was over, people were exonerated. Do you think anybody... think I feel exonerated?
Now, George Floyd, I'm with you 100%. And
well, I mean, right, there's more than just him. There's others.
Oh,
I mean,
there's some videos.
We got a problem, Bill.
I agree. I'm with you 100% that we have a problem that bad police officers.
The problem to me is to hold people accountable.
I agree.
So 18 offenses a police officer has in Minnesota, 18 different violations, you know, that'd be like me losing, 30 games in a row. If you think I still have my job, you're crazy.
Tom, on the show yesterday, I said that law enforcement, police unions need to weed out the bad cops. They need to do that.
Not just law enforcement ones. I mean, that goes for teaching and a lot of other things, you know.
I agree.
I'm not going to use the word you use, but I'm going to just say, we need to hold people accountable and let the process happen, if the process would happen. But that day is gone. I mean, we are guilty till proven innocent, not innocent till proven guilty. So, I understand some of that. But I can't agree with you on, I don't know what happened. I do not know what happened. But 7 shots at a close range, from what I hear, is that you're going to have to tell me because I did not see any of it. I just heard.
No, I saw when you see the video, it's horrible. And unless unless
George Floyd one.
George Floyd, that was easy to arrest those police officers, and especially the lead officer with his neck on him.
Like the one down in Georgia,
Breonna Taylor. I think the officer.
No, the guy running at the Wendy's.
That video was horrible.
Yeah, well,
that guy
named right. 3 out of the 4 cases.
Well, no, I know. Hey, dude, and I'm listen. All I'm saying about when you look at the individual situations, and you look at it, there are obvious videos where you go, man, you know, gosh, you know, that police officer loses his job trying for manslaughter, murder, whatever under the protocol and law of that state you can. I'm with you 100%. I'm just saying with the Blake situation, I don't agree with anybody getting shot 6-7 times, whatever the final number was. But when he opened that door and reached, we don't know. And that's why I wish, you know, the body cam, when the process is over, In that situation, Floyd, the officer, should go to jail for the rest of his life. Okay, and I agree, Atlanta. I'm with you. I'm with you, Tom, 100%. And
you see the point. If I was black, how do you deal with those things?
No.
Time and time again.
I said yesterday.
I know how I feel.
I know
about some things, and those are recurring issues. And you know, I mean, I watched Doc Rivers last night. Good friend of mine. Talked to him.
Well said.
It was very well said. I watched Jimmy Jackson today, who I thought, you know, was unbelievable. I mean, hey, listen. There's white guys, there's black guys, there's Italian guys, there's whatever race you're from that do things wrong, and they should be held accountable too. But this day and age where the court of public opinion creates some problems, this day and age where, you know, you're hired to do things in each job you have. Bill Simonson today is a different guy than Bill Simonson 15 years ago when I met you. Tom Izzo today is a different guy because you have to adjust to the times and you have to adjust to what, you know, the regulations, the rules, and everything else is. I mean, I don't know what happened in this. I just know I got a lot of good friends that are police officers, a lot of great guys, a lot of great guys. But you are trained to deal with these situations. That's why you're a police officer. And you're talking a human being and some that are running away from you. I just can't swallow that, Bill.
I said it yesterday, Tom, when I was talking about the Lions protest, that I said that in America, because of the color of your skin, you shouldn't have to worry on what's going to happen when you're pulled over by the police. Okay?
You know, that was my number one thing that hit me as I talked to my group on the NABC call. The coach from South Carolina got on and he said, Tom, I've done something that you've never done. And I'm thinking to myself, let's see, that he was talking about basketball. I won a national championship. He hasn't. I'm in the Hall of Fame. He's not. I've, you know, had won somebody Big Ten champion. He's not. You know, I was kind of going through it in my own brain as I'm listening to him talk. And I said, you know, what was that? What did you do that I've never done? He said, I'll bet you never sat your kid down and talked to him about what to do if he gets pulled over by the police. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I have to do that along with 99% of the black men in this country. I was appalled. I said, you're right. I never did that. I never thought of doing it. I never even gave it a second thought. So I started asking my friends. I started asking my assistant coaches. I started asking my players, did your dad? That kind of stuff is, it's ridiculous in our country.
It is, Tom. I said that,
so
that to fear it.
I just can't swallow it.
No,
I'm not saying that. Hey, like I said, make sure you understand this. It's for everybody that's going to criticize me because I don't normally come out this strong, but there are a lot of great cops. There are a lot of great teachers. There are a lot of great this and that. When systems allow you to not do your job and or do it in a way and there's no consequences, for whatever reasons, I it's hard for me to swallow.
I agree. And what I'll say is that the way to police forces would be those 98%, if not higher, of men and women who put on a bulletproof vest to protect our cities, our streets, our states, who protect people in this country, neighborhoods, that they need to weed out the bad cops. And
sure.
And that has to, that's where it starts. And also, and because what happens with the age of video and the horrific videos that I'm with you that you mentioned, And the age of why'd somebody do this, there needs to be a little bit, you know, the Breonna Taylor, everyone's calling for the swift justice, whether it's an investigation, Wisconsin Department of Justice that has taken over the Blake shooting, they need to move faster, give the public the information so everybody knows what the truth was on why that happened as quick as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that'll almost never happen, will it?
Well, I know. Yeah, investigations never move. Yeah, you got lawyers, you got people involved, Tom. Yeah. You know, we all know that drill.
I know it really well.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell the truth because somebody's telling you to be quiet or you can't speak out. And yeah, there's change. There it beyond obvious change needed. As you said, so a black man, black woman, Hispanic, and any person of color in America should not feel frightened when they're pulled over by a police officer.
Bill, it's not just because 80% of my team is African American. It's, you know, me too. I'm married to a Hispanic woman. I've heard the stories of her father. I've watched it. I'm not feeling sorry. I'm not, you know what? I just think simple. Just give me two things. Treat everybody like I want to be treated. But if a white kid, a black kid, an Italian kid, a Hispanic kid is not doing their job, then he should be held accountable to that too. Two things, those two things simplifies everything, you know? And I don't know what it's like to be a police officer. I don't know what it's like at that moment when you don't know what's going on, but there's training for that. That's what they have to go through. And there's so many good, I have so many good friends that are police officers. And by the way, you know, the thought of whatever the word was where they, you know, not paying the police officers.
Defunding,
I'm sorry. You know, I can't swallow that either. So it's not that I'm sitting here, being one-sided on anything. You just got to understand that if what you saw happens, how do you live with that? And you know the saddest part, Bill, as I learned it myself on some stuff, if it happens to you or you, if that happened to your kid, I think you would look at it differently than if it happens to somebody else.
And also, if I had to tell my children to be cautious about if you're getting pulled over, I get that. But also, we can't broad brush, and you said it the best, Tom, that all law enforcement. And that's why, you know, when I watched that video, I'm not lying, it made me literally sick to my stomach when I first saw the Blake video. But what I need to know, okay, not I need to know for justice, okay, in this. Not me. I don't need to know it. His family, the people who are protesting, whatever happened when Blake opens the door, I need to know why that officer emptied six shots, if not, I think, seven officially into the body of Mr. Blake. That's what needs to be made public and to understand why that law enforcement officer would shoot that many times, that close range,
because I heard that was...
No, it's horrible. The video, the 10 seconds of the video of the shooting, and then there's a second video that shows the altercation or scuffling with the officers on the other side of the vehicle, but the 10 seconds with that close range when he opens his door, and I don't know if he's... I don't know. You can't tell, but you hear and see the gunshots that... That officer better have a justifiable reason or he should be charged with murder. End of story.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that. Like I said, I always respect and appreciate you. I'm not sure I agree with everything. Whether he should be. No, he has to be. You know, we keep talking in ways of this got to change, this got to change, this got to change. You know, When is it time to say this did change? And that's what I struggle with. And I struggle with it. I don't agree with everything the other way either. I agree with protesting. I don't agree with rioting and looting. I agree with, you know, so I'm not being one-sided here. But I don't know what I would do if that was my son or daughter. And you said it very eloquently and good. So I told you what I had heard from the coach at South Carolina. What did you just say? I've never talked to my son. Did you ever tell your son that the minute you get pulled over, put your hands above your head and stand there and don't even reach for your license, don't do this, don't do that? Not in a million years, but a million years.
This is a bigger issue than just the video from Kenosha, Wisconsin. This is an issue that just needs the conversation like this, Tom. No one agrees on everything with anything anymore in America, and that can be a good thing because we don't agree. We can, because what, when you said something I disagree, I can tell you this is why I feel, you say why you feel it, and we remain in a civil conversation about it.
I can swallow that. I think there has to, you know, you have to see things. And if I didn't live in the house I lived in, if I didn't work with the players I work with, I probably wouldn't feel quite the same way with as much strength or anger as I feel right now, because it's dividing all of us. It's making it harder to do everything you want to do. But accountability is accountability, and you know, there's too much. Well, what's proven isn't always proven either.
Oh, yes. I'm not. And that's why I'm glad the Wisconsin Department of Justice took over this investigation, not Kenosha Police investigating one of their own. So I thought that was a swift key move that happened in this. And beyond what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that the law enforcement needs to police their own units and look at bad cops and poorly trained police officers and either get them better trained or get them out of that police department.
You know what? That's the best thing I heard you say all day. You know, and you know, you do have to self-police a little bit, because sometimes there are no cameras. Sometimes there's two guys out. You know, the strength of a great program, I've told you this 100 times, when I have my greatest teams, It's when it's a player coach team. You know, I think if I was chief of police on a police force, the greatest police force would be one where they hold each other accountable. But remember that word accountable. I think Webster is removing it from the dictionary, and that's sad. So. I don't know. I guess we hit enough on the negative. We'll find some positive. But I do appreciate you. I guess I appreciate you know what you said. Didn't mean to jump you for it.
No, I'm cool with it, man.
I don't think the world should be 51-49. You know, I mean, that's what it is. You know, I'm a big proponent of wearing your mask. Wearing your mask means you're a Democrat. Not wearing your mask means you're a Republican. Telling your kids to go to school means you're, a Republican. Telling them to stay home means you're a Democrat. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The way we've gotten to ridiculous stages. And you know what? Thank God I got a good relation with my players. I've had many Zoom calls with the parents. Not perfect, far from it. But I'm in a good place with my team. And you know what? Tonight, or Monday night, we'll talk about, you know, this incident down in Orlando where the team didn't play. And, you know, do kids want to kneel? Do they want to stand up? You know, I've adjusted to the times, too, a little bit. And, one thing I've figured out in the last 4 months, I am for peaceful protests. I'm not for violent protests.
Amen.
And yet sometimes, what's the definition of insanity? When the same thing happens over and over and over and over again. And that's the definition, and I sometimes understand that too, Bill.
Tom, we'll end on a positive. The positive is between your team that's 80% black and your wife who has Hispanic origin in her blood, that you've learned a lot. And you are in a different situation when you look at this last 5 month period. You throw in a pandemic with the social unrest in America. If all of us haven't had a chance to step back and learn and digest everything and come out on the other side a little bit more knowledgeable, considerate, caring, and understanding, then we really haven't lived the last 5 months.
You know what? Very well said. Very well said. I think as we've come to the conclusion through my staff, through the people I've talked to, through my university and what we've discussed Education is still the key, you know. I mean, I got players I'm not sure know who Martin Luther King was. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, so we got to do a better job with the education piece. We got to do a better job with sticking together, man. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of kids in Flint and Detroit over my years here that have made Tom Izzo, and they don't look like me. And they've done a lot for me. And if I can do anything, I hope that instead of just a championship, that part of my legacy will be we became better educated, we helped causes, we got more involved with our community. A lot of things that I think we can do moving forward, and I think you said a lot of it very well, and that's what I'm going to hope and pray for, Bill, and nobody should get away with the wrong thing, but there's so many things now between lawyers and between police officers and between coaches and between teachers, and, you know, we all got to realize, I heard a great thing from a black man on TV right before you called. And he said, he's a military guy. And he said, you know, I was at Fort Bragg. I was at this older gentleman. And he said, I went to two different wars. And every time I went to war, nobody cared if the guy next to me was white or black, Hispanic. Nobody cared what he was. They were all Americans. And that's one thing I've said, you know, all along. I'm all for my heritage. I'm all for not forgetting, you know, I'm about pizzas and spaghetti, you know, that's the Italian way. But instead of being an Italian-American, an Afro-American, a Hispanic-American, a Jewish-American, the day we become Americans and yet still keep our heritage, you know, in some ways, but when we call each other Americans, my friend Doc Rivers last night said, I just want to be called coach. I don't want to be called a black coach. Very, very, very well said.
Tom, thank you for the conversation, the honesty. I love the back and forth. It says something about the depth of our relationship. My best to you, your family, and your team, okay?
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Tom Izzo. Yeah. Hey, Matt. Like I tell you all the time, those that listen, I don't want everyone to agree with everything I say. What I believe is that the investigation, if it shows there were any weapons or reaching for weapons, and somehow that video, which was horrific, that you see the other side of this and there was justification, then we need to know that. If there wasn't, then charges need to be filed. It's simple. And I agree with more swift action when it comes to the protection of the innocent and also the taking of innocent lives.